What's up, everyone? Welcome to Believe in Rams, part of the Believe Network. Erin Coscarelli back with you. Be sure to, of course, subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast. You can also catch us on Believe TV. You can read the top Believe stories at si.com. And of course, follow us on all the socials. All right. We have an amazing show for you today. A very, very special guest, hot off the owners meetings in Orlando. Steve Wyche is NFL Network's chief national reporter. He's been covering the NFL guys since 2005. Steve is the host of the NFL Report, which streams Monday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time on the NFL channel and available on the NFL app, fast streaming platforms, and NFL.com/NFL channel. Steve Wyche, the legend at NFL Network. It's so good to have you because, first of all, when I introduced you, I said the stat that you've been covering the NFL since 2005. So you have seen everything, and really it's perfect timing to have you on because you're either still in Orlando or you are fresh off of the owners' meetings. How did this year compare in terms of previous years when it came to the announcement of all the rules and the rules changes and what to expect? Because the social media world was a fire with everything that came out. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's, you know, look, first off, it wasn't nearly as convoluted as in previous years. You know, there were no media deals going down. There weren't a whole lot of other things. And these are the discussions, like with the kickoff rule, those have been going on for years. And so let's start there in terms of 2 years ago, there was a lot of conversation about taking the kickoff out of the game, right? Let's just have the teams take it at the 25-yard line because we're having too many concussions, too many guys getting hurt. And you know, when that's not happening, there's touchbacks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the NFL had all these special teams coordinators get together from all 32 teams, their assistants, to come up with an option. And they love the XFL's option, which is now the UFL, where mm-hmm. you've got the kicking team, the defensive team, lined up on the opposing 40. The return team lined up on the opposing 35 with one or two returners, because what that does is just short area contact, right? There's nobody running mm-hmm. 30 yards before a possible hit. And they're basically making rules that say you need to kick it where it's returnable. So I like what they said in terms of, in the year where Devin Hester, one of the greatest returners of all time, is going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they're bringing the return back into the game. And they wanted to get it done now because teams are putting their rosters together, right? So they want to find special teams players that can deal with it. In yeah. terms of the swivel hip drop tackle, the swivel part is an adjective that was added, oh, days ago. Because all season long, we kept hearing about this hip drop tackle. And defensive players are like, look, we're just trying to get a guy down. Like, we don't practice that. You know, if I'm a smaller guy, if I'm a safety and I've got to bring down Mark Andrews, I got to do what I can. You know, I can't use my head, X, Y, and Z. But we saw, speaking of Mark Andrews, I mean, that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back when Logan Wilson, the Bengals, tackled him and broke his leg. Like these types of injuries happening over and over, about one per game where, you know, the data they said where a guy had to miss time.
So like, because of that type of tackle?
Because of that type of tackle. Now, they're going to allow the traditional hip drop tackle, which is where you kind of grab a guy and you just sink, right? You just kind of drop him. But the swivel is where you grab a guy and then you just kind of swing your feet up and then try to pull him down. That's the one they're trying to do it because they found you pulled him down. They got the player's legs off and got caught behind him. And the defender was falling on the legs. So it resulted in a lot of high ankle sprains and things like that. And I know there was a significant uproar from the NFL Players Association and from several defensive players. But in the end, I mean, if it keeps players on the field, you know, offensive players, because last year, what was it like when we lost all those quarterbacks? I mean, it really lost a lot of the intrigue. Scoring was down, things like that. So if you can keep your fellow man on the field, you know, the players will find a way to adjust. They always have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the end of the day, the NFL is trying to keep the game exciting per Andy Reid's excitement for the lack of the dead plays from seasons previous. But also the swivel hip drop tackle situation, what may incur, which was interesting, is it'll be left up for interpretation with officials and frustration with that. Right. So, you know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, NFL is just trying to keep the game exciting and safe at the same time.
And I'm glad you brought up the officiating part of it, because it sounds more than anything like they're going to, if the officials miss it, they're going to fine guys, right? That's the way that they've gotten guys to adjust over the past couple of years is, yeah, it wasn't called in the game, but we're going to fine you. And so if you get hit for a $12,000 or $15,000 fine for that tackle, hey, man, you know, you may ease up. You may just completely let up and let a guy score, but it will change the behavior. And that's kind of what they've seen. If you don't get penalized, if you get penalized, it's one thing because it hurts your team as well. But if not, you just get that fine, hits you in the pocketbook, that tends to change behavior.
Yeah, and you don't want to see these. I mean, I don't think even the opposing team wants to see quarterbacks out, you know, because of these types of plays and tackles and stuff like that. So if we're keeping guys safe on the field, that is the goal at the end of the day. And yeah, the kickoff rule will be interesting, of course, doing right before the draft. So hopefully it'll help teams figure out how to structure their roster. You know, we heard some big news out of LA. This is a Rams show after all.
Yeah.
And number 99 hanging it up, man. First off, your reaction to that when you heard that?
Well, look, this is one where, you know, I look back in my years covering, like, I'm glad I got to cover this dude a lot because I got to watch him practice. I got to watch him train. I got to know him a little bit. And he is, when you hear everyone say he's one of one, he is one of one in terms of, he's an undersized defensive tackle who lasted, 10 years at an incredibly high level, one of the strongest guys I've ever seen. He used his speed and his quickness. And I call him the Kingmaker because there are so many dudes who got paid playing alongside of Aaron Donald, the Dante Fowlers of the world, the Leonard Floyds of the world, the Greg Gaines of the world. Like, him and Ray Lewis have made so many dudes who played next to him money.
Rich.
You know, they are like the legit kingmakers in the NFL. But, but just to see him and the impact he had on the game, is he the greatest defensive lineman ever? I don't know, ever. You know, Reggie White, Deacon Jones, people are going to throw some names out there. But in terms of this generation, you better believe it. I mean, there's no comparison. No one's going to make an argument of for him, because he could play three more years at that level. He's just, you know, he just said he's full. He's done. He doesn't want to put himself through it.
Yeah, I mean, and he was such an impactful player from the jump, right? I mean, his first season, he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. And then, you know, finished the game being a first-team All-Pro selection. I think you caught – did you catch up with Sean McVay? Because I have no doubt in my mind that guy is not getting a lot of sleep at nighttime trying to figure out what he's going to do on defense this season.
Right? He's not getting sleep because he's got a five-month-old baby. But Sean was telling me that you could tell during the season – that Aaron was done in terms of, you could see him treasuring little things in a different way that he hadn't done before, whether it was the last time playing, you know, up at Levi Stadium or things like you could see. So they knew, they had an inkling that this was going on, that he was kind of on the goodbye tour. So yes, he's going to be, you know, you can't replace him. I asked Sean, I phrased it, how do you compensate? He's like, look, you know, we got a draft. It's a big focal point, but you don't replace somebody like that. Like I said, he's a kingmaker. And so they had the feeling, they knew the past couple of years he'd contemplated it. Everyone thought it was just, you know, a leveraging the contract negotiating strategy, which it may have been, but for him to go out on his own terms is a big thing. And everyone I spoke to with the organization, people around him, they're like, he's done. Like, you know, you see Jason Kelce kind of wavering a little bit. I say AD's done. Like there's not an itch. There's not an itch to be scratched.
That's a wrap. You know, it's interesting because we had Marshall on last week and he has a conspiracy theory that he thinks he wants to be highest paid. He thinks he could come back and he thinks when camp time rolls around, which is interesting because it's true, right? When camp time rolls around and these guys that have been in the league double digits, it gets quiet. And then what Marshall said was, he said, you're like, what do I do? And you know, obviously you can use Tom Brady as an example, right? He hung it up for 40 days and had to come back because it was too quiet for him. So you don't think that's even a possibility, because it's happened. I mean, look,
I'll never say never, but you know, a lot of times when you hear that, you know, Marshall, he was a running back, those guys get abused. Tom Brady was a quarterback, they don't get hit like D tackles. Mm. And look, Aaron's one of these guys who like trains like nobody else. You know, he is in the gym. He grew up, his father was a bodybuilder. You know, he had a gym, the dungeon in the basement of their home in Pittsburgh. He may say like, I need a breather. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got what, 4 kids now, a couple of them are young. He might just be like, it's time to finally stand down and enjoy the life I haven't let myself enjoy because I'm constantly working and constantly training to be the best player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, the people I've spoken to who've spoken to him just think he's like, he's done. And, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, and good for him. And good for him. He wants to be known for more than a football player. He's 33 years old, got a lot of life to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what Marshall said too. You know, it's the chapter after football. It's hard to enter, but certainly he's deserved it. When you think of Donald, you mentioned a defensive player of all time. Where does he rank in terms of Rams, like greatest players of all time?
Ooh, that's a great one.
You know, a couple guys, pretty close friends that could be in there too.
Yeah. I mean, you look, when you look at some of the great Rams, you're talking about, you know, the Jack Youngbloods, you know, of the world. You're talking about just, you know, Jackie Slater, you know, one of the most durable offensive linemen to ever play the game. You're talking about Marshall. You're talking about mm-hmm. Kurt, Torrey Holt, you know, Orlando Pace. But defensively, you know, you think of Aeneas Williams playing for the Rams for a while. Again, Jack Youngblood, Merlin Olsen, Rosie Greer. You had those guys. But Aaron Donald's, he's on the Mount Rushmore. He's one of those foreheads on that Mount Rushmore when you talk about the all-time great Rams.
Mm-hmm. And also, do you take into consideration the era of when they play? Because it's a different game. Yeah.
You have to, but for Aaron Donald's position, kind of, sort of, no. Because if you put him in there, you know, when you had Rosie Greer and Merlin Olsen and Jack Youngblood and all those guys, he would have dominated then. Now, that was much more of a run-centric era. But Aaron would have been as big as the D-tackle. He would have been bigger than a lot of the D-tackles. He's undersized now. You know, he would have fit. So I just think he's one of those guys that could cross all eras. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for most skill positions, of course, you know, Roman Gabriel, great guys like that, mm-hmm. quarterback. But Aaron Donald, yeah, Mount Rushmore, one of the top 4.
I love it. I love it. Peter Schrager did mention on GMFB the other day, he sees, and so did Marshall, that Donald could have a future in Hollywood, that maybe he's been hanging out with The Rock a little bit.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, like, you know, you talk about Donald's personality and how he's such a monster in the gym, on the gridiron, but he's very he's humble and a little soft spoken, right?
Yeah, very quiet guy.
Have you seen the movie Roadhouse with Conor McGregor? Watch it. It's so good. But
I've seen the one with Patrick Swayze. I've not seen the one with Conor
McGregor. That one's great. That one's great too. But, you know, I was really surprised at Conor's ability to hold down the villain, you know, and I think, and the charisma. And I think when you think of Donald, he, like, could you see that as a possibility?
I think he'd be great.
Yeah.
Look, he's the guy who could be like the sweet dude and all that, who all of a sudden could turn heel, to use a wrestling term. You know, like we would see this and that, the next thing you know, in the middle of an inner squad practice, you know, he's swinging helmets and he's got grabbing guys by the face mask. Absolutely. And he wouldn't have to say a lot. He could be one of these Arnold Schwarzenegger type of, you know, superheroes. He's got the body. All he would have to do is smile and make his move. I think I would love to see AD in that role. That'd be great.
I love that. I love that. I love that. That would be so funny to watch. And amazing. Okay. And then, you know, obviously Rams fans, sad, a lot of QBs, however, very happy in that division. Trivia question for you. Who was the most sacked quarterback by Aaron Donald. Do you know this one?
I know that. And that is Russell Wilson. That is Russell Wilson. I know that.
Yeah.
He's held that title for years.
Yeah, that just is a painful thought to be sacked by Aaron Donald that many times. Poor Russ.
Well, you know, it was funny because Greg Williams, the old defensive coordinator, came up with the scheme back when they had Chris Long. Gosh, I forget who the other defensive end was, but those two would run straight upfield, like 10 yards upfield, and box Russell in. So he would step up into the hole, and there's 99. And that other teams tried to replicate it, but that was something that they were doing all the way back in St. Louis, and AD probably was sacking Russell 3, 4, 5 times a year, in part because of that strategy.
Smart. Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was a painful era for Mr. Wilson, for sure. And then, you know, I know you need to go. You're such a busy man. And again, thank you for jumping on. You know, for the owners' meetings, anything in specific in relationship to the team that you can sort of allude to?
Towards the Rams?
Yeah. Anything?
Well, the fact that they've got a first-round draft pick for the first time since 2016. Sean was joking, like, now we'll see if we use it. They better use it. Rams fans will lose their mind unless they're trading it, you know, for some elite pass rusher, which most teams are not going to trade. So I do think, you know, they're going to use it. We've seen them load up on all these veteran defensive backs, you know, Cam Curl. Mm-hmm. We just saw him sign Tre'Davious White. So, you know, when you look at it, either they're going to get the best offensive tackle or an edge rusher or someone like that, or maybe a great defensive tackle to fill in for Aaron Donald, even though the draft analysts say this isn't a really strong defensive tackle draft. But yeah, and talking with Sean and a couple weeks ago talking with Les Snead, you know, that first round draft pick is something they're like, well, this is great. We actually have it. And, you know, we've got a little bit of cap space still to play with as well. So we'll see if they trade back into the second round, they get to take Thursday night off again in the draft. But from all indications, it seems like they're planning on working Thursday night, the first night of the draft.
Yep. Oh, Sean being so coy. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the draft. And as always, your finger is on the pulse, Steve. We're so grateful we have time with you. Your perspective on the league and the future is so interesting. So, Steve Weish, thank you very much for jumping on.
Appreciate you, Aaron. All right.
And that was Steve Weish, ladies and gentlemen. When I think of the NFL, I think of Steve Weish. He has always brought his A game when it comes to reporting on the NFL, caring about mental wellness and bringing the game forward, and really is one of the best to do it. So a huge thanks to him and his time. He was just at the owners' meetings in Orlando. I think he's still there, actually. And it was great to catch up. He was a longtime colleague of mine at NFL Network and doing and continuing to do amazing things over there. And his perspective is always really interesting. In fact, you know, not as diabolical as years previous, but still a lot of news being made out of the owners' meetings there. Of course, the big one was the kickoff, you know, and I had mentioned Andy Reid being one of the more excited coaches to see the change in the kickoff, because you have so many dead plays, right? And people want the excitement, the newness of what that game looks like. And it looks like the NFL is still trying to consider and keep in mind the health of their players. So it'll be interesting. It'll take some time for us to get used to the new rule. You know, it is a trial basis. They're going to try it out for one season, subject to renew in 2025. Now, there were 92 fair catches last season. Any ball now caught in the field of play must be returned. So, you know, it'll be interesting. We also talked about the hip drop tackle is now a foul, which means there's no more rolling on the legs of the runner. And it was interesting because we did talk about the officiating and how this is going to bring up sort of a new interpretation of enforcement. And, you know, you heard there was an uproar. There was a lot of like fans and players and people just curious of how that's going to go with the banning of the hip drop tackle. So that is definitely an interesting one. And there were a lot of things with the replay as well. But definitely the biggest one is the kickoff, which as Steve and I were talking about getting it done, maybe there was a bit of a sense of urgency to do it before the draft. So now teams can sort of take that into consideration when structuring their teams, right? We talked about 99, of course. You know, last week we spoke with Marshall. Did he think 99 was hanging it up? Marshall thought maybe there was room for him to possibly come back. Steve, not so much. He said that's a wrap on Aaron Donald. And that, you know, the thing I found really interesting that he repeated that head coach Sean McVay said was he was noticing throughout the season glimmers of Donald appreciating things about his game and the season different than previous years he had been with the Rams. And I guess sort of appreciating and taking in the moments there at Levi's Stadium, he mentioned, that otherwise he wouldn't have or didn't in the previous seasons, and alluded to that would be a good indication of possibly Aaron Donald for real hanging it up. Of course, Marshall said, and it's always hard, you know, when these guys year after year go to training camp and then it just sort of all of a sudden stops. Think about that, right? I mean, it gets really quiet and the mind of the athlete loves structure. They love routine. They want to be able to have a place to, you know, hone in on that camaraderie. And that's going to be a different season this year for Donald if he doesn't come back. But he has a family, he has a wife, and, you know, at 33 years old, wants to look beyond the gridiron. And of course, that's what we talked about a little bit. We did talk about what the future is for Aaron Donald. Could he be in an action Hollywood film? Which of course Marshall was saying he's been hanging out with The Rock. So, hey, you never know. Aaron Donald as an action figure. Why don't you, action hero, why don't you let us know what you think? Again, like I said, Terminator 2, one of my favorite movies of all time. So we could see an Arnold Schwarzenegger in the making. But that's it. I wanted to just make sure to thank Steve Wyche. Of course you can catch him, like I mentioned, on the NFL Report, streaming Monday, Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific time, the NFL channel on the NFL app, streaming platforms, and NFL.com/NFL channel. I'm Erin Coscarelli, guys. I am so grateful to be with you to talk about the Rams. I am a hometown kid, grew up in LA, and I'm just excited for what the Rams are going to do. And now they've got some things to figure out come draft time, which is just around the corner. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you next time.